Getting to the gospel. This is the JW Review. So welcome back to the JW Review. I am Mike Felker, and we're going to talk about the gospel and how to get to it when you're interacting with one of Jehovah's Witnesses. So I guess the first thing that you want to think about when you are wanting to share the gospel is, why do you want to get to it so quickly? Some people want to get right to it in their first interaction. That's their primary goal. Whereas other people, like myself, maybe I just want to put a stone in their shoe. I just want to get the relationship started. I just want to get them thinking about something so that the next time we interact, after they've had some time to think about what we've talked about, whether it was the gospel or maybe just some other challenge I posed to their beliefs, on the next interaction, we can have a more in-depth discussion. So the only thing I'll say in maybe disagreement in terms of those who just feel like they have to get to the gospel in their first conversation is just consider just the psychology of a Jehovah's Witness. Because when you challenge them when they come knocking on your door, they're going to be maybe in defense mode, especially if it's something that maybe they haven't heard before, or maybe you've been a little bit aggressive in your challenge to them. I think the best thing to do is to just plant a little seed, put a small stone in their shoe, just something that'll get them thinking, and then the next time, maybe they're going to be more open to the discussion. Maybe after they've thought about it, they'd have some more thoughtful answers instead of just maybe answering something off the cuff. So this is going to be more about how to get to the gospel. Maybe if it's your first conversation and that's something that you just really feel like you have to do. Or maybe if it's a return visit and you want to get to the gospel in that conversation. So regardless of your approach, whether I agree with it or not, this is about how to get to the gospel. So I'm assuming that if you want to get to the gospel with a Jehovah's Witness, then you already assume that they don't have the gospel or they have the wrong gospel. So one of the first things you'll want to do with a Jehovah's Witness is, even though you might already think or know that they have the wrong gospel or false gospel, to ask them what the gospel is. Because you don't want to just put words in their mouth, right? You don't like it when people do that with you, and so they probably don't want you to do that with them. So what you want to do is ask them. Maybe if they have knocked on your door and they've kind of gone through their introduction with you and they've asked you some questions, maybe towards the end of the conversation, you can just simply ask them something like this. So a lot of people out there, they have different opinions as to what the gospel or the good news. I'm really curious as to what you think the gospel is. And there, they can give their answer. And it might be the case that you don't disagree with their answer. In fact, let me just read you a definition of what the gospel is. And this is from the Insights on the Scriptures volume, which is essentially their encyclopedia or their Bible dictionary. So the Insight volume, this is on page 986 or 987, and you can actually get this and most of the things I'll be quoting from JW.org using the online Bible tool. So they say, as far as defining the gospel, that it refers to the good news of the kingdom of God and of salvation by faith in Jesus Christ. It is called in the Bible, quote, the good news of the kingdom, Matthew 4:23, or the good news of God, at Romans 15:16, the good news about Jesus Christ, Mark 1:1, the good news of the undeserved kindness of God, Acts 20:24, the good news of peace, Ephesians 6:15, and to the everlasting good news, Revelation chapter 14, verse 6. So just in a nutshell, according to the Jehovah's Witnesses, the good news is the kingdom of God and its salvation by faith in Jesus Christ. So I don't really think there's much that you could disagree with here as a Christian if they were to verbatim quote that. And they're most likely to quote something similar to that. But I would say more than likely, they're going to just briefly explain the kingdom of God and how that is good news. So really, if you ask them that, they're going to probably just say something like that. And this is just really the quote was essentially them quoting scripture. So if you want to get to the gospel, you're going to have to dig deeper. But if you've asked them the question, what is the gospel, and they define it, and they define it in a way that you pretty much agree with, you're going to have to like peel up the skin a little bit, and you're going to have to dig deeper to find something maybe that you disagree with. But you have to be careful, though, because you don't want them to think you're just trying to find something to disagree with. You really want this to be just a conversation. You're interested in asking them questions and just trying to find out more about their beliefs. So let's talk about adding to the gospel, because that's one thing that you probably think as a Christian that the Jehovah's Witnesses are doing. That's one of probably several or many things that you think that they're doing that maybe makes it a false gospel. So on the Insight volume, also on page 987, 988, this is going to be something that you probably do agree with on the Jehovah's Witnesses on. But this is a good thing to really bring up, because this talks about adding to the gospel. And I quote here, it's talking about the importance of the gospel. The Apostle Paul wrote with strong conviction about the provision for salvation that God had made through Jesus Christ. He declared that if anyone was to declare that to the Galatians something beyond what they have learned, something that was actually a different teaching, let him be accursed. Then, pointing to the source of the good news that he declared, Paul stated, "Neither did I receive it from man, nor was I taught it, except through revelation by Jesus Christ." And there's a quote from Galatians chapter 1. This strong declaration was necessary, for even then there were some who were trying to overthrow the true faith by preaching another good news. Paul warned of an apostasy to come and stated that the mystery of lawlessness was already at work, and he admonished Christians to remember the purpose of the good news and to stand firm and maintain their hold on the Spirit-guided traditions they had learned through the apostles. So what they're talking about here is the Galatians, Paul preaching to the Galatians, and to let that person be accursed, that person who is adding to the gospel. And that is very carefully defined. So anyone who is posing a different gospel is someone who adds to the gospel, something that the Galatians were not themselves taught. Now that's really interesting, because the Jehovah's Witnesses actually talk about the doctrine of 1914 as a very important component to the gospel. In fact, they define it as the gospel. In the 2007 January Watchtower on page 19, it says, "Brother Barr, who was a governing body member, urged the students to take heart three things regarding that angel. First, he had to declare the everlasting good news that Christ is now ruling with full kingdom authority. The speaker said, 'We are absolutely convinced that his enthronement took place in 1914. So these glad tidings must be proclaimed all over the earth.'" So they are very strongly correlating the good news to the fact that Christ began ruling in 1914. Now, if we go back to that previous quote from the Insight on the Scriptures volume, you see that the Watchtower themselves are agreeing with Apostle Paul that another gospel is defined as someone who is adding to the gospel, thereby preaching a different gospel, a gospel that the Galatians did not understand. Now, we're not going to get into the particulars of 1914, but I would argue that the Galatians would have understood that Christ, from that point in the first century, Christ had already been ruling and reigning as king, whereas the Watchtower teaches that Jesus had not begun ruling and reigning until 1914. But even a Jehovah's Witness would agree that the Galatians in the first century would not have understood or had any idea about the fact that Jesus was going to rule and reign in 1914. That would have been completely foreign to them. So you can bring these things up to a Jehovah's Witness, and you can just ask them, so I'm reading in your literature that you are strongly correlating the gospel with this doctrine of 1914, but yet you're telling me that someone is to be accursed who preaches a different gospel, a gospel that was not taught to the Galatians. So can you explain that to me? Because it sounds like you're adding to the gospel with this 1914 doctrine. And these are things that you can actually go to the JW.org, print out these quotations, and show it to them. Because you don't want to tell them that, oh, I found this just on the internet, or I heard this from someone. No, you want to go to their website, and you want to show this to them on their website, because if you don't, they might think that you've been reading what they consider apostate literature, or you've been deceived. I don't know, but I just know the best thing is to show this to them in their own literature. And don't just tell them these things like I'm telling you now. Ask them to read the quote, read it out loud, and just ask them questions about the quote. So then after you've kind of gotten that out of the way and you've kind of gotten this thinking process started about a different gospel, then you can ask them questions about the gospel that was preached to the Galatians. So since we're on the topic of the Galatians, ask them to open up your Bibles to Galatians and find out where in Galatians it talks about the gospel. Ask the Jehovah's Witnesses questions about specific texts. And just to see, do they agree with the Apostle Paul on what the gospel is? For example, do they believe what the Apostle Paul talks about when he's speaking of holding to faith alone through Christ alone, and that being the gospel? It's apart from works. That's pretty much the whole point of the Galatians. Do works add something to the good news? Or is the gospel something that can be believed apart from works of the law? Now, there's a lot of other quotes that you can go to, and some of these quotes are actually from the years previous to what the Jehovah's Witnesses website actually shows. So, for example, in the 1981 Watchtower from May 1st, it says, "Let the honest-hearted person compare the kind of preaching of the gospel of the kingdom done by the religious systems of Christendom during all the centuries with that done by Jehovah's Witnesses since the end of World War I in 1918. So here, they're trying to make a direct comparison between the kind of gospel preached by Christendom versus the gospel preached by Jehovah's Witnesses. So they say here, they are not one and the same kind. So you're probably thinking, well, what's the difference? Well, it says that of Jehovah's Witnesses is really the gospel or the good news, and here's the kicker, as of God's heavenly kingdom that was established by the enthronement of his son Jesus Christ at the end of the Gentile times in 1914. So they're specifically saying that the difference between the gospel preached by Jehovah's Witnesses and the gospel preached by Christendom is the whole issue of 1914. That's the difference. So you want to be really careful how you bring up such a quotation to a Jehovah's Witness, because they're going to wonder, how did you get a quote from a 1981 Watchtower? Because you're not going to find that on JW.org. So you're going to have to be really careful in how you present that to Jehovah's Witness, because they're going to think that you just pull that up from the internet from some apostate website. So you have to be really careful about that. Now, that's talking about mainly the kingdom aspect. So if you remember where we saw a Jehovah's Witness definition of the good news. They defined it as the good news of the kingdom of God. But there's another aspect. There's another aspect of the good news where it speaks of salvation through Jesus Christ. So there's a lot of different directions that you can go here. You can go into talking about the new birth and being born again, because almost more than likely, a Jehovah's Witness at your door, they're going to deny being born again. That's a great thing to talk about, because they're going to tell you that only the anointed class, the 144,000, are born again, and that makes up less than 10,000 Jehovah's Witnesses alive in the world today. But it's a great issue to get into. But this one here I'm going to talk about is from the Reasoning from the Scriptures volume, and you can find this volume at jw.org, so something you can print out and show to a Jehovah's Witness. And this is on pages 356 through 361. And so in the Reasoning book, it's really interesting because you can see questions and then how Jehovah's Witnesses are to respond to these questions. So this is essentially their witnessing manual, if you will, when people ask them thought-provoking questions. So in this particular quotation, it's asking the question, are you saved? So let's say you're asking a Jehovah's Witness, hey, Mr. or Mrs. Jehovah's Witness, are you saved? And here's how they're going to answer. Here's how the Watchtower recommends that they answer. Well, so far, I am. I say that because I am also aware of the Bible's counsel not to be overconfident of our standing. Are you acquainted with this text? And it's 1 Corinthians 10, 12. And you can read that. You can discuss it. But I think it's really interesting that they're hesitant to be overconfident in their standing. And I kind of see where they're coming from, but at that point, it doesn't matter. This is just a good way to get the conversation started because you can kind of ask them a question. So I'm interested how you're hesitant to be overconfident. And I understand that because you don't want to sound arrogant. You don't want to sound like you're better than me, like you're working harder than me. I get that, and to some degree, I respect that. But can we go through a couple of Bible verses? I'm just really curious as to your perspective. And so the Bible verses I would recommend going into are ones to where, yes, you as a Christian can be extremely confident in your standing before God, that you have been made righteous before Christ, before God, because you have His righteousness, His perfect righteousness imputed to you, and you have His blood, His atonement applied to you, so that God's wrath is going to pass over you. And this is going to be all put upon Christ, who has made sin in your behalf. So one text that you can bring up is John chapter 5, verse 24. All these verses are talking about your confidence that you are saved and that you have been reconciled before God. John 5, 24 says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life." So I would recommend bringing that text up to a Jehovah's Witness and asking them to read it out loud and ask them, do you believe that at this moment you have already passed from death into life? And do you believe that according to this text that you currently, right now, have eternal life? And just kind of see what they say. Tell them that you what you believe about yourself, and how you believe that you can have confidence in your eternal life because of what Jesus is saying here. This one's really interesting because this text specifically talks about confidence. It uses that word. Philippians 1, 3 through 6 says, "I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all, in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. So here, Paul talks about the gospel, about their participation in the gospel from the first day until now. And he is confident that he who began a good work will perfect it. So if Paul is confident about that through the Philippians, ask the Jehovah's Witness, are they themselves confident in the gospel that what God has started, he will complete it? Ask them if they believe in that promise. Another one is Romans chapter 5, verse 1 that says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So ask them, do you have peace with God? What do you think being justified means? Does that give you confidence in your standing before God that he will not bestow his wrath upon you? Another one is Jude, verses 24 through 25. It says, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. So it says here that God is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless before him. So ask them, are you confident that God is going to do that for you? Because it says here that God is going to keep you from stumbling. So this is talking about God here and what God does, not what you do through your own efforts, through your good works, but it's what God does. So ask them, Jehovah's Witness, are you confident in what God is doing through you to make you stand confidently in the presence of his glory? So there's a lot of different directions that you can go here, but if you want to get to the gospel with a Jehovah's Witness, simply ask them questions about these texts. Don't be overly arrogant. Don't be overly aggressive. Just the best thing that you can do is to ask them questions, have them open up their Bibles, read these texts or these Watchtower articles, and have them explain it to you. And you can do this on your first visit with them, or you can do this after you've had some time to sit down in your home and to have just a really nice discussion with them. For more information about Jehovah's Witnesses and other topics, please visit michaeljfelker.com. There you can also reach me directly to submit questions or comments to be covered on the JW Review. To subscribe to this podcast, please go to iTunes and search for the JW Review.